Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to John in chapter 6. John in chapter 6, hope and trust and pray you got your Bible with you. That's what it's about. The Bible is our authority. It's the first and the last word. My mama taught me that. And it's Mother's Day today. And you need that book needs to be part of your life. The guiding truth in your life. Let me read just that first verse. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Before I start preaching, I'm going to make this as quick as I can this morning. And I've got what? I got 5 points. I got 6 points, but I'm going to fly right through them real quick. Which brings me to this real quick story. It's a true story. General Eisenhower told the story of his father when Eisenhower himself was a little boy and desired to buy a cow. So he went down the road to a farmer that was there in the area and he wanted to buy this cow. And he says to the farmer, "Tell me about the cow's pedigree." And the old farmer scratched his head and said, "I don't rightly know. I know anything about the pedigree." Mr. Eisenhower said, "Well, what about the cow's butterfat production?" And the farmer scratched his chin and said, I reckon I can't tell you anything about that." He said, "Well, how many cubic pounds of milk per year will this cow produce?" And he said, "Mr. Eisenhower, I don't think I can answer any of these questions. But I'll tell you this. This is a good, honest cow. And she will give you all the milk she has." Mr. Eisenhower bought that cow, and it ended up being the most productive cow in their herd. You know, the fact is, God can take people without a pedigree. God can take people without seemingly a lot of talents. And if we'll just give God our all, it's all that God requires. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 6, I want to preach this morning on what you might be here, and you might be thinking, "I'm kind of insignificant. I'm not really that important in the plan and the work of God." I remind you, these are the final days. I remind you that right now, the gospel ought to be proclaimed from every direction. And New Testament local churches ought to be red hot with the gospel. And along the line, so many defections. So many people are falling away, falling in love with something of the world and what the world has to offer instead of giving our all to Jesus Christ. Here in John in chapter 6, Jesus had been ministering and he'd been healing the sick. And he'd gotten word that John the Baptist had been executed. And it was long about the end of the day. Man, he's tired. And he crosses over the Sea of Galilee. And he gets to the other side and he finds out that the crowds have followed him. And he goes up into the mountain with his disciples. And he finds out that the crowds had followed him there. And that's where we begin reading here this morning. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him. Verse 5 talks about that great company, all right? A great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. He's got to be tired. You know, Jesus, in his human frame, although he never ceased to be God, he experienced every weakness that you and I have. He knows what a headache is about. He knows what it is to be exhausted. He's got to be exhausted. It's long about the end of the day, and it's time for dinner. It's time for people to get something to eat, some nourishment. It says, "And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, 'Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?'" Let's pray one more time. Father, we pray your blessing upon the word of God. I want to be a simple, and yet I want to teach profound truth, a simple Bible preacher this morning. I pray that the word of God, by way of the Holy Spirit, would connect with every born-again child of God this morning. And God, anybody not saved, They'd hunger and they would thirst for the bread of life, for Jesus himself, that they might know that they are born again. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not about doom and gloom this morning. It's about hope and glory. Mother's Day. I want to start the message by saying, I'm a mama's boy. I have said that before. I love my mama. My mom, she was not a great mom by the world's standards. I recognize that. And I lovingly referred to her many times over the years as the goulash queen of the Upper Peninsula. For her, it was not about quality, it was about quantity. That's because of the number of boys in our household. And I go back, you talk about God using insignificant people. Here's a woman with no college education, no spiritual background. In the mid-60s, over here on Shunk Road, the south end of Shunk Road, my dad worked at the holiday service pumping gas. I can remember mom talking about God. We didn't go to church, but talking about God. And then that lady got saved by ordained will of God. We moved to the other end of the UP. And a gospel-preaching Baptist, born-again Baptist preacher led my mom to the Lord. Amen. Led my dad to the Lord. Seemingly insignificant people. Out of their household, they raised four boys and a girl. Two of those boys are preachers, two of them are in heaven, and the girl is a pastor's wife. They adopted a half a dozen children. They foster parented 200 plus children over the years. God just blessed them. God gave them a big heart. I remember the first year my mom got saved, the first year she was born again, she led 32 people to Christ. You talk about fertile ground, and she was in love with her Savior. My mama taught me to go to church three times a week. My mama taught me that the Bible is the authority in our lives. Man, I have never forgotten that. My mom had feet of clay. She wasn't God in the flesh. I know that. Everybody around the old Raider household, they would have known that. But there was a lady that intensely loved Christ. And when she, I remember the second year of her salvation, she wept because she didn't lead the same number to Christ as she did that first year. She was that concerned. God took an insignificant little lady. And your mom's important too. I know that. I get to tell my mom's story because I'm up here. But I know you love your mama. And I trust and pray that your mom is born again. So let me say this real quick. If she's not saved, you better get to her the gospel. As good a mom or as bad a mom, whatever her failings or whatever her shortcomings or whatever her bright side and top side is, she as a sinner needs Jesus as her Savior. You better love your mama enough to tell her about Jesus so that she can go to heaven. And if she is born again, man, you thank God. You thank God for that. You say, am I real important in the plan of God? And I want to tell you, yes, you are. He who calls the stars by name. And if a sparrow doesn't fall except he takes note of it, you better believe you are not insignificant to the good Father above. You're not insignificant to the good shepherd, the redeemer, and the lover of our souls. And he has a plan for you in this economy of the New Testament local church. And you are important. And if you are not right with God, your circle of loved ones and coworkers will not hear the gospel like they ought to, like God intends them to hear, because you're not carrying the light. Well, you take that to heart. All right, let's go to Matthew, go back again to John and chapter 6. And I want to talk to you real quickly this morning. Number one, I already talked about this, a great multitude. God will always provide for his people. Now, this is the feeding of the 5,000 that we are going to read. And although there's a great multitude, there is a great need. I want to tell you this morning, there is a great need in our world in which we live. I told you 2 weeks ago the population of Kinross was 6,700, new number. Population of Kinross is now 7,321. There are 36,000, the number's gone down in Chippewa County, 36,816 in Chippewa County. There's 328,000 in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. There's a little over 8 million in the state of Michigan. The crowd, the multitude is great. There are much people. I know people come here and they think nobody lives around here because it's all trees. But in those trees, even in Kinross Township, there's 7,000 plus people here. And every single one of them have an eternal soul. Amen. And every single one of them Jesus went to the cross for. no matter what their pedigree, no matter what their background, no matter what how little they know about God. God, the only begotten Son of God, came to this world because he loves them, just like he loves you and me. And he provided himself on the cross. He provided blood atonement for all of their sin, all the sin problem that's out there in Chippewa County today and in Mackinac County and in Luce County, all the eastern end. Jesus has provided for it. We've got to get the truth out there. There is a great, great multitude. And there's a great need. Look at verses 3 through 5. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come, they're following him, come unto him. And he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Sometimes in the ministry, because of the very nature of the ministry, we face insurmountable problems, seemingly insurmountable mountains. And I want you to know that those problems and those walls and those valleys, between that rock and the hard place, however you want to picture it, they are there by the hand of God. And they're to prove us. That's what the disciples are going to find out here. You see, he knew these thousands of people were going to need good and evil. It says 5,000 men. And the Greek word for men is not necessarily the neutral word there. So it's specifically men. And in every church, many times there's more women than there are men. I thank God that's not necessarily the case in Fundamental Baptist, but let's say there's 5,000 women besides. And with men and women together, they make up families, and there's always children. Say there's two children. I don't know this. I'm just surmising. Say there's two children per couple there. Well, that's another 10,000. That goes the feeding to the 5,000, now explodes to 20,000. And that's not what's important. We don't know the exact number of people there, but we know there's a great need. Just like there's many people around us, there's a great need, and they have no way to fulfill that need. Little boy. In fact, we read that Philip comes up. Well, let's just read on here. Jesus asks Philip, verse 6, and this he said to prove him. Jesus knew the need. Jesus knew how he was going to meet the need. He asked Philip this question to test him and to test the other disciples. And it might be you're facing some kind of wall this morning. It's to test you. He says here, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus always knows what to do. He has always got an answer. Whatever your difficult spot is right now, all it takes, the need today, is for a little bit of faith. God knows what he's going to do to meet that need. You just need to trust him. Philip answered and said, 200 pennyworth denarian is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. In other words, the disciples and what Philip here says is, we don't have enough money to meet the needs of these people. There's no way. And a denarius, that's like a little coin. It's like this. It's like a penny. What good is a penny today? Have you thought about that lately? Oh, you old people, remember penny candy? What good's a penny? Is there such a thing as penny candy anymore? Man, it doesn't happen. I remember when, I can actually remember when a penny seemed like a lot of money. So here's the picture though. What we have in our hands is a little thing, and it'll never meet the need. But the little boy's lunch, but when you take that lunch, you take what you have and you put it in the hands of the master, thousands are fed. Let's read on here, verse 6. He said this to prove him. Verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Just a single little boy. So we know there's children there, right? A little boy's lunch. He's got a happy meal. And there's a prize that he does not understand. It's going to take place. And here's this little boy with childlike faith. I've got something. You know, my grandma, when she made homemade bread, I wouldn't have shared that bread with anybody. In fact, I didn't. It was like candy. It was so light and so filling. And she always the butter on the top of the crust. She'd always butter the crust with bread, man. That was, you could smell it when you came out of the barn. Grandma has made homemade bread. And if she made homemade bread, she made sticky buns as well. And man, as a little boy, man, I wouldn't share that with anybody. But here's a little boy that's different. And he says, I've got some loaves and some fishes. And the disciple says, but what's that among so many? It'll never meet the need. Here's the secret. If you give what you have to the master, it's always enough. Always. Okay, I have a string of scripture that we ought to look at this morning, and we do not have time to look at it. The need is bigger than you and I. All God requires, because God is not short on anything in heaven, nothing. All he requires is that we be, hey, I'm not preaching about, you might be thinking I'm preaching about money this morning. No, I'm preaching about time. I'm preaching about talent. I'm preaching about treasure. What do you got going in your life? For some, we have more treasure than other things. For others, they have more talent than other things. But all of us, we all have time. We all have a certain amount of time. And we need to give it to God. If we give it to God, like the little boy gave his lunch, he's going to bless it. And he's going to break it. And he's going to meet the needs. And the multitudes are going to be fed. And God is going to bless in a wonderful, wonderful way. Look at Luke in chapter 21. Luke in chapter 21. I skip way ahead. This is dangerous as far as knowing what to preach next. But Luke in chapter 21. I referred to this recently, and this is the widow and her two mites. I want to read it. I want to read these four verses here this morning. Great multitude, great need. And it's a great test. If I can learn to trust God, God is going to bless. Life is filled with impossible situations. But if I, as this little boy did, will learn to take what I have and put it and place it in the hands of the master, man, he's going to take care of everything. It says here in Luke in chapter 21, he looked up, this is Jesus, and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor, I'll put the word insignificant in there. It's not in the scripture. Widow casting thither two mites. Two mites. Two small brass coins. The smallest amount of money in the empire. You cannot buy God. The idea of buying indulgences to get somebody out of hell is an affront to the grace of God. I pause here just a second to tell every member of Fundamental Baptist Church, God doesn't need your stinking money. I'm not mad about anything. Man, more money's coming in, but God doesn't. Hang on to it if you want to take it to the grave. You realize everything I have here in this world, I leave behind. Everything. The only thing in heaven is that which I've laid in store, Matthew in chapter 6. That which I've given to God. So hang on tight to the treasures of this world if that's how carnal you are. But man, you are playing the part of the fool. Here Jesus said, he notices this widow, she casts in two mites, and he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. All God wants is our hearts. And here's this woman who doesn't, a widow lady. She's got two mites, two brass insignificant coins. All the rich people are bringing all kinds of money into the treasury of the temple. But she casts in the, and Jesus takes note and said, that woman is blessed. That woman has cast in out of her poorness. And they're not even sacrificing. She is sacrificing. I'm going to use that. Go back to, again, John and chapter 6. John and chapter 6. A great sacrifice. Verse 8, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of fishes, as much as they would. Jesus was never flustered by the need of the hour. Jesus was never beside himself, wringing his hands, not knowing what to do. He is God in the flesh. There's not a need that the church of Jesus Christ has, except God has more than enough to provide for it. There's not a need that you have in your household, except God has more than enough to provide for it. All it takes is you being right with God, giving God your all, and God is going to bless. I promise you, that is the teachings of the Word of God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians and chapter 12. It's a passage not unfamiliar to many here. I just want to read a couple of verses, make a comment, and get back to verses 12 and 13 of the Gospel of John and chapter 6. God can do great things with those who will take what they have and give it to God. That's it. That is it. You don't have to keep up with anybody else. You don't have to give what anybody else gives. You don't have to sing like anybody else sings. Your best is good enough for God. He just wants your heart. And he will bless you, and there'll be 12 baskets overflowing extra at the end. Your cup is going to run over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. So don't get your little kingdom, and this is mine and nobody else's, and I'll give you just a little bit. Yeah, it's like me with potato chips as a little boy. I'll give you here, bud. I can afford to give you one. That's it, man. These are mine. You know, don't go there. Not as a child of God. We are children of the King. Heaven is not broke. God is a generous God. God is a God that loves his children. He's not going to allow me to be entitled. That would be a mistake. If you're a parent and you're raising your children in a spirit of entitlement, you are going to pay a great price. Your children will pay a great price. Man, we ought to know what it is to just love God and give of ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul prayed 3 times, take this thorn from me. And he said unto me, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul says, man, I take pleasure in those infirmities and those weaknesses. What is the apostle Paul saying? Paul, from heaven, from earth's perspective, thought if he had this thorn that he had in the flesh, it was likely his eyesight. But if God would correct that, he'd be able to serve God better. He'd be able to be a better preacher, a better leader. And God said, no, Paul, you need that thorn. I know your heart better than you know your heart. And that thorn is going to remain. And God reveals this truth to the Apostle Paul, that he needed that thorn. And as long as he had that thorn, he leaned on Jesus. And as long as he leaned on Jesus, the power of God was there. So whatever your weakness is this morning, whatever your shortcoming is this morning, whatever mountain you are facing this morning, then you just give it to God. You give your weaknesses to God. God will use you in ways you never dreamed. Again, God doesn't need your talent and your money and your time. He wants your heart. He gets your heart, he's going to bless. Go back again to John in chapter 6. John in chapter 6. I'll start to wrap this up. John in chapter 6 and verse 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments and remain, that nothing be lost. By the way, the job of the disciples was just to distribute the bread and the fish that Jesus multiplied. Just distribute it. Man, we don't write the Bible. We don't get to write our own Bible. We don't get to write Bible truth. We just deliver the goods. That's all we're called to do. Keep your hands off the Word of God. And rightly divide the Word of God, study it, and preach the known will of God. Quit reading into the Bible for your own life, thinking you know the will of God, and you're not reading the Bible, so how can you know the will of God? Except you bounce like a ball off the wall here in that direction. You kind of keep going in the right direction. Develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says, and when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, by the way, Jesus is enough. He is always enough. When they were finally filled, they were filled. They sat and they ate until they were filled. That Greek word there in the Textus Receptus means satisfied. And Jesus certainly is satisfying. Man, they sat down on the ground in the grass. The disciples came and brought them the bread and brought them the fish. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go, man. Here you go, man. When's this? It's still full. Here you go. Here you go. And seconds, 2 seconds. Here you go. Here you go. And they all were satisfied. They were all filled. And when it was all said and done, verse 12, they were filled. He said unto his disciples, now gather up the fragments that remain that nothing be lost. No waste. Not in the family of God. Everybody's important. Verse 13. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12, just happens to be 12 disciples, 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus said, this is of a truth that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. The miracle, like the previous miracles, gave authenticity to the message of Jesus Christ. But he wasn't ready to be king yet. He wasn't ready to be proclaimed king yet. There's a job that needs to be done. The multitudes need to be fed. Say, how's the multitudes going to get fed, Pastor? By surrendering what we have to God. It might be that things get real tough. It might be that the trumpet sounds in this part of the country, maybe we're living in the lap of luxury, high clover, and never know what it is to suffer. I don't know what God has planned for us, but I know this. My job is to deliver the fish and the bread. That is it. Go to Psalm 23. Go back there in closing. Psalm 23. 23rd Psalm. Verses 5 and 6. I love it. I love it. When I get to do a funeral, I love these two verses. You can't outgive God. You can't outlove God. You can't outbless God. It says in Psalm 23, verse 5, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And the best part, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm trying to write a book. Abby's going to help me. She's going to edit it, and she's going to make me sound smart, and everything's going to be good. The title of the book, I've got 12 chapters. I got the chapters. I got to just fill in all the blanks, man. And there's so many stories to tell. And I don't want to be offensive to anybody, but the title of the book is going to be My Cup Runneth Over. Man, there is no way all around the state, at least where I go, in the preachers that I know of, and I meet people all of the time. I met Randy King down in Chicago a little over a month ago now, maybe it was a month and a half, and he'd already heard of Fundamental Baptist Church, man. I've never met that man before in my life, and he's a retired pastor of Wildwood Baptist Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Great church, and we support some missionaries out of that church. And I've heard the Kinross miracle. That's what everybody's referring to it. You know, like up there in the middle of nowhere, if it can be done in the Upper Peninsula, it can be done in our cities. It can be done in the populated areas. It can be done in the metropolitan areas. It can be done all over America if it can be done in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Wait till we finish building on to the building in our tabernacle project. And the miracle of Kinross, all the glory will go to God. And it'll encourage so many churches and so many people and drive our enemies nuts. And hopefully they're empty on the inside and they know it. They know they're empty on the inside. They'll finally come to a place in their life, I got to go and see what's going on over there. That's what it's about. All that's missing is faith. Who are you going to win to Christ this week? What time is your prayer closet? What time of the day you do that? Was Jesus waiting for you yesterday and you didn't show up? How much Bible are you reading every day? Is God feeding your spirit? Or is your soul taken over? Your flesh taken over? And get with God. All God requires, listen to this, I'm done. Not your money. Not your talent. Not your time. Your heart. Just whatever it is, you give it all to God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.